Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to speak to you guys. I'm very excited, and I had to laugh because any time that you've got like a message or, you know, something that you feel the Lord wants you to speak, it's that week that you get tested on every single point in your message, and you're just like, come on. So I can honestly say that I feel the most unworthy to be up here to talk about what I'm going to talk about today. So just know, I really don't have this together, but I'm going to be really honest with you and pray that what I have to say not only challenges you, but me too. So we are going to be talking about a woman of value, and I'm taking it out of Proverbs 31:10, and it says, she is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls. And I don't know, you know, I don't know, maybe you guys are all from like super wealthy families and you like know the value of rubies and pearls and diamonds. I've been into Zales before and looked at some of the rings and I'm like, ooh, that's nice. Ooh, yeah. Maybe in 80 years, we'll get one of them. You know, there's a lot of value in there. And so I want to talk about your value. So they recently, every year they post this, you know, how much a mom, like her job, you know, like how much it would be worth in the real world if they were to be paid for every single task that they do. So they take the top 10 jobs from van driver to cook to laundry machine operator. How many know how to operate the laundry machine? Very good at it. Calculate the value of the job, how much time a mother spends on it, and how much you would have to pay if you hired someone to do all that work. The average stay-at-home mom works a 40-hour work week plus an additional 56 hours of overtime, while the working mom works 40 hours a week for her employer, 40 hours a week at home, and puts another 17 hours in overtime. I am very tired at this moment as I say that, because that's a lot of hours. So, what do you think it is? Demanding. Now, any guesses? It is, for the most popular mom job functions, obviously every one of us have something different, but the most popular would equal a yearly salary of $122,783. There we go. That's quite the value, more than any ring that I saw in the little Zales thing. We're going to talk about your value. Before we talk about her value, I want to talk to others and the value of being a wife. This is to everybody. This is not just to the moms. But I wanted to talk about your value to God first. Because first, we are children of God. And first, we need to find our value in God. And it's something that we struggle with. I mean, it is difficult. And it is hard sometimes to keep things straight. But in Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing." When I read that, I know that I am valuable to God. He looks down at me. He sings over me. He sings over you. We are his creation. He finds incredible value. My husband, I don't know if you guys know who he is or anything, but he has a million hobbies, like a million. Photography, woodworking, I mean, just, I can't even, compute, yeah, oh my goodness, sound, just, it's just crazy. And so he has all these hobbies, and he's really good at most of them. I would say all. He's really good at all of them. And so he took, and before Aspen was born, one of those hobbies was woodworking, and he crafted and created this cradle. And it was, you know, for her, and it had these dovetail joints, which is like this really special type of joinery that means it's a mark of a good craftsman. I watched him. He spent hours and hours and hours on creating this cradle. And he put his heart and his soul into it. And when he got all done, it was just absolutely gorgeous. Okay? Absolutely gorgeous. He carved an S for Schnauzer with a rose coming through it. It is absolutely amazing. He treasures that creation. Does he want Aspen playing with it? Not so much. He's like, oh, here's my markers. I'm going to go right over it. No, 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 no. We don't want that. Why? Because he created it. And it is very valuable to him because he put his heart and his soul into that creation. We are his creation. He created us in his very image. He put his heart and his soul into every single one of us. And we are valuable to him. We are something of worth because we are his very creation. And just going back to last Sunday, if you were here, the service was set up so perfectly to talk about his love for us. In Romans, I wanted to just remind us about this verses. It says, do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way, not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, unthinkable or thinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love for us because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. He loves us. He finds great value in us because we are his children. And there are some moms for sure here, and it doesn't even have to just be a mom, but there are some moms I know that have lost that sense of value. And they're going, but Lord, I don't feel very valuable today. I don't know about this. Have you seen what I did? And I got up this morning and I chewed my kid out. I mean, I really let them have it. I don't deserve to have you look on me with value. But God says, no, nothing can separate us from his love for us. We are valuable because he says so. Because he created us. Because we are his and we are his creation. So I hope we got that wrapped up. Do you got it? We got that whole first point wrapped up. Who's valuable? We are. I am. I am valuable to God. He looks down on me. He smiles. He sees me walking around there. He goes, yeah, there she is. Yeah, she's going to do something someday. I'm working on her. She's not there yet, but I'm working on her. And we are all in that process, whether we are male or female. So now I want to talk about, and I'm going to try and make this really quick because I know that there's special plans and everything. And I had to ask to borrow Max's watch. I was like, oh, I got to remember to have that because, you know, you can get a woman talking and they completely lose track of time. I know none of you have ever, ever experienced that as the husband's in the car. Come on. Where'd you go? Yeah, I'll talk about that a little bit later. So I'm looking to Proverbs 31. How many, as a woman, have read Proverbs 31? I want to see a show of hands. That's it? Come on. Okay, well, Proverbs 31. It is the woman chapter. It's the banner of who a godly woman is. Okay, I suggest that you read it if you haven't, because it's got lots of good stuff. But after today, you're going to hear a few things about it, so I know you'll be like, oh, I can't wait to go read that chapter, right? So when I read chapters 31, I read it, and I simply get completely overwhelmed and depressed, So you're going, why would I want to read that chapter? Well, this chapter is about this woman who is the culmination of everything godly and is an example to us of who we are supposed to be. Now, husbands, men, children, before you check out on me and say this is all about wives and mothers, I want to remind you that you are the bride of Christ, and that just maybe there's a few things in this chapter, because it's talking about husbands and wives and children and all this stuff about a woman, that maybe there's a few things that even you can pull out of that chapter and help you in your relationship with God. It's in there. You just kind of got to find it. And so as I've listened, or as I've read this chapter and been frankly overwhelmed by it because of all the stuff in there, and going, Lord, there's just no humanly way possible that I can live up to be this woman. And it just, I'm just like, man, there's just so much. And we're even going to go over, you know, lots of parts of it. And you sit back and I'm just like, there's just no way. Any woman who's read it knows. And you just sit there and your shoulders slump because you're just like, I'm so far from that. So why would God put something in there that would absolutely make you depressed? Any ideas? Because this is a journey. And we start in one place and we end in the next. And we may not reach and be completely perfect like she is or appears to be anyway. We may not make it there in this lifetime, but it gives us guidelines. It shows us who that woman is. It helps us to have something to follow, something to pattern our lives after. It encourages us because we can read that chapter and say, you know what? I know I'm not there yet, but I can work on that. And I am going to. And the biggest thing is, Lord, help me to be that woman. Help me to grow in grace and to move along this journey. And it helps us not to be stale and say, well, I didn't know. How many have had your children? We have it with Aspen all the time. She'll like go do something. I'm like, no, you can't do that. That's wrong. I didn't know. I'm like, oh, never did tell her exactly on that thing that it was wrong. You know, you got to be very, very clear with our children. Maybe some of you have discovered that. And so we got to be so clear. And it is our example of what a woman is. So we're going to be talking about value. And my dear husband is going to put V up there. And I thought to make it easy and to keep me on a path. We're going to start, and I put it with the letters of value. And so the first one is this Proverbs 31 woman. She validates and honors her husband. It says in verse 11, her husband has full confidence and trust in her and lacks nothing of value. Another version says, gives him what he needs. So I decided that I should maybe, well, I'm gonna tackle trust first. Women, guys need your trust. And they need to be able to trust in you. It is something that is earned. And how many know with trust that it can be broken and that it can have really major consequences? So one of those with me is shopping. I have a problem with time and shopping. There's just never enough time, ever. I've got a list like this long, or it feels that long, and we'll be sitting outside Target, and he's laughing, okay, you can run in and you get those things and only those things. I'm like, okay, that's it, I'm gonna do it. And my full intention really, really is to only get those items. I am not, because I have done it enough times and I've gotten reamed out enough times that you would think that I would learn, and I am going to, you know, I'm gonna live up to that, and I'm really gonna do it right. So I'm walking down the aisle and I've got it all, sale. sale. Oh, look at, oh, red stickers. Oh, okay, I just, oh, let me just look at the, okay. Well, okay, there's shoes here, and Aspen, she's going to need shoes, and they're a size bigger, but you know what? They're only $3, and that's a whole lot cheaper, and surely he's not going to yell at me if I get the $3 shoes versus the $16 shoes, so I'm going to grab those. Okay, so I'm going to go around. Oh, sale. Oh, well, we really, really need that, and I've been looking for that for a long, long time. I really, really, oh, if I go really, really fast, he'll never know. Because, you know, it's not like he's going to see me come out with 5 bags instead of 1 that I was supposed to get. He never know. Yeah, shopping. I'm working on it. One of these days, I'm really going to do it. I really am, because my intention is really good. And one of these days, God's really going to get a hold of me on that one. And I will be true to my word. Because that's really the essence of it, isn't it? I'm breaking my word. Oh, that hurts. So now that I've given this illustration, you know what's going to happen the next time I go shopping. Leave Kirk home. Maybe. They need to be able to put their trust in us. Secondly, what's valuable to him? If we give him what he needs, what does he need? Simple. I think it's simple, right? So I talked to some guys, figured that'd be the best place to get this information from. One that I just totally jumped out to me was, he said, total commitment. Total commitment. Ladies, your husband needs to know. He's the apple of your eye. He's the only one you see when you look at him. He better. There is something in a man. I'm telling you, there is. There is something in the man that rises up and says, I admit, I am all that and I'm all you need. All right? They need our total commitment. They need to know that even when they mess up, and they, which they do, a little bit, guys, once in a while. Even when they mess up, even when things aren't going perfect, even when they have hurt you incredibly, they need to know that you're still with them regardless, and that you are going to honor your wedding vows, and you will stay through them until the end. Total commitment. Trust, we talked about. Respect. For those of you that went through the love and respect, you know how important respect is to a man. So many would rather have it than love. Respect. They need our respect through our words, through our actions. Companionship. They need us to be by them. Some more than others. But they need a buddy sometimes. They need to know that you like to be with them. Support. Come up behind them. Honey, I support you. You can do it. And of course, the mother to their children. Because I'm pretty sure none of them want to do it alone. Laundry? Verse 12, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Her husband, verse 23, is respected at the city gates, which I thought was really odd to be in this particular passage of scripture. I'm like, her husband's respected at the gates. What does that have to do with anything about a woman? And I was reading some stuff, and it says, he is known, observed, and respected because of his wife. Because of who she is, and because of who people see that she is, it brings honor to him. When they're walking down the road, she said, oh, did you see her? Oh, he is so blessed to have her as his wife. She's so loving. She's so caring. She always speaks to him with honor and reverence in his voice. I can't imagine. We can show a different example, ladies. We can make a difference. We can make a difference in who our guys become. In Proverbs 12:4, it says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. We're his crown. I was born to be crown. I'm the jewels. I'm the sparkle. I'm the bling. I'm the bling. Kirk's cool. I think he's cute. But I'm the bling. Yeah. I bring honor to him. It says, she who causes shame is like rottenness or cancer in the bones. It destroys the very being of who they are. We can choose what we're going to do for our husbands. Are we going to bring them honor? Are we going to be an asset to them? Or are we going to destroy them? It says, I just put in here, it says, purpose to be an asset to your husband, to bring him honor, to assist him in reaching the potential God has for him. And in doing so, you're fulfilling God's purpose for you. You are one with him. When you got married, you became one and God sees you as one. I don't know. Have you ever seen like a three-legged race, you know? Okay, so, Philana, come here. Come here, quick, quick, quick. I'm going to run out of time if you don't hurry up. Okay, so pretend that this like leg is tied together, okay? So what happens if she just refuses to move? It doesn't work out so good, does it? You're supposed to refuse to move. Oh. Thank you. Where can I go? Huh? I can't go, thank you. I can't go very far. Can I? We're one. And you can choose to assist and to help and to push them forward into what God has for them. Or you can be that weight because you want to do what you want. Which one are you going to be? A. Moving on to the next one. Moving on to the next one. Thanks. A. She's able to make, keep, care for her children, home, and then those in need. Like, not even just that, like, extends it. And so I read that. I'm like, Lord, there's just not enough time in the day. But you know what? God gives us grace. And he is the one that we look to help us, to assist us in becoming this person. Proverbs 31:13, I'm just going to take snippets, says, she works with eager hands. Verse 15, she rises while it's still night and gives food to the household. Verse 16, she considers a field before purchasing. Now this one got me because of my love for shopping. She uses her brains, her knowledge, to make wise choices and to not be impulsive. I'm like, really? That's in the Bible? To think before she does things. Verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. I like that one. 18, she sees what she's doing is good, or she sees what she is doing is getting good results, in other words. So she keeps doing it. 19, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Verse 21 through 22, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. I like that one because I'm like, I get to be clothed in linen and purple. Linen, it was a very, it wasn't burlap back in those days, okay? Linen, it was something to be esteemed. It was something nice. And I took that one and I thought, you know, it doesn't hurt to try and look nice for your husband every once in a while. All right? You know, I told Kirk, I said, I got to shave this morning for you. I was talking about my face. He looked at me, what? It's okay to look nice for him. To not, and I don't mean to get that into like, like where you're like, oh, I gotta look nice for my husband, and you're spending all your time doing that and then spending extraordinary amounts of money to do so. I'm not talking about that. But it's just being respectful and wanting to please him. A mom's job, verse 27, she watches over her family and doesn't waste her time. A mom's job is endless. We saw that on the video. Seriously, I know that every mom in here is at a different stage in life, okay? We've got moms who, you know, have the little ones, and there's a whole different type of care that takes place with them. And you got, you know, the middle age, and I don't know, I'm hoping that that's a really easy age. I have yet to get there. We'll see. You've got teenagers. I know from youth ministry that that's a whole unique age of its own. You have adults. And you're sitting and you're at a different stage. You're not washing their clothes, or hopefully you aren't. Or, you know, you're not necessarily involved in the care of their life, but you are very still concerned about who they are becoming as an adult. My mom, she made her way back here just to be here for this today, which, bless my heart. And until you're a mom, you never truly understand what it is to be a mom. Am I right? I remember when I was little, and I would look at mom, and I'd imagine being a mom, and, oh, you'd have the little baby, the little toy one, and you'd wrap it up, and you'd have the little bag, and you'd feed it, and do all this stuff. And it was so nice, because you could put it down later. And then you're a real mom, and it's 2 a.m, and you haven't had sleep for, oh, I don't know, 36 hours because you've been caring for your sick child, and you're concerned and you're wondering, what do I do? Is everything okay? Do I need to take him to the doctor? What's going on? Kirk, what do you think?
I don't know.
Okay, what should I do? Do whatever you think is best, honey. You're right. I'll do what I think is best. Okay? You know, it's hard. It is really hard work. It is not easy. And so, Mom, I appreciate you. And I really am understanding a little bit of what it meant to be my mom. And I thank you for it. I'm forever grateful for her time, for her loving care, for her taking those moments and teaching me along the way by a godly example. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt, moms, you have such an important part in shaping who your children become. It's essential. I know that you're going, but oh, you don't understand. My, you know, they're reading this magazine and then they see this on TV, and I'm just an old mom. Who's going to listen to me? They're not listening to me. I know they're not listening to me. You're right. They probably aren't listening to you, but they are watching you, and you being consistent and you loving them no matter what they do, no matter what they say to you, no matter what's going on, and you saying, you know what? I love you. I don't agree with what you're doing. You are doing wrong. It is sin. This is not right, but I love you, and I will forever love you. When we discipline Aspen, and I know she's sweet, and you would think we never have to do that, right? But we do. Taylor, too. We're working on him. With Aspen, we always ask her, and we just, after we discipline, and it's not fun, but we do it because we love her. And we'll ask her, and we'll say, honey, do mommy and daddy love you? Yeah. So we still love you, don't we? Yeah. I said, we love you when you do wrong, don't we? Yeah. Because we always want to reinforce our love for that little girl, that no matter what she does, our love for her is constant. And moms, you're the love. Dads have a whole different purpose in the home. Moms, you're the nurturer. You're the soft one. You know? You're the one. I had a little joke thing, but it said, what's the difference between moms and daddies? And one of the answers is, well, moms are the ones that make it better when we have an owie. They have magic powers. That's what it said. And I'm like, that's so true, to a point. Moms, you've got the special ability, and you are going to show them that whole side of love and compassion, and your consistency speaks wonders. I know as a mom, there's so many things that seem so mundane. I know, here we do, the 8th load of laundry this week. Okay, cooking. I'm blessed. My husband does most of the cooking. Not because I didn't want to learn, but he just really likes cooking and he really likes food. And he knows that if he makes it, it's going to be really, really good. Not saying I'm horrible. Just, it might get to the table at 9 o'clock instead of 6. I get distracted. See? Getting distracted. Totally got distracted. There's so many tasks in a day. From the time you get up to the time you go to sleep, it's just thing, and this needs attention, and this needs attention, and this needs attention. And you're just like, Lord, does it matter? Does it really matter? Most of you know, we had a beautiful 1970 trailer. 69, something like that. Okay, so we went in, when we moved in, we fixed it up and we made it nice, but one thing that we didn't fix was this golden bathtub. Beautiful bathtub. Oh, it's so beautiful. I'm just kidding. And we tried to fix it up the nicest, and there was one day I was just tired and it was the last thing I wanted to do, but it was on my list and I needed to clean the bathtub. And between the bathtub and the rest of it, there's this place where there's caulk. And it gets really, really gross and disgusting where the water runs down. And I don't even know what's created in between that area. I don't want to know. That'd be really good not to know. But I was there. And no matter how many times I had wiped this tub, it was still dirty. I mean, I had worked in cleaners and everything. And I'd walk in there and I'd just, it's just disgusting. Yuck. And so I'm like, I finally took a little knife, paring knife, and I sat there and I scraped whatever that stuff was and I got it out of there. And I'm like, seriously, does this matter? And God just put in my heart, he's like, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so I sat there and I thought, God, you see me right now. You see this. I know you see me. You see me scraping this. And you know that my intent is to make my home a place that is clean and nice for my children. And even though it is mundane, he sees every mundane task that you do. Don't forget that. There can be great joy in washing the dishes. I have a dishwasher now. I'm so excited. I love it. Whether it's dishwashing, whether it's mowing the grass, if that's a task that you end up doing, whether it is the millionth load of laundry, whether it's sweeping the floor, you're fulfilling God's purpose for your life in making a home for your family. Elle, and I kind of talked about this already, but she leads by her godly example. And there's a quote that I saw that pretty much sums this up completely. Her heart is full of another world, even when her hands are most busy about this one. Her heart is full of another world. I'm talking about the godly characteristics that are a part of her life. Verse 25 says she's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. This woman, she is full of the Lord. Full. She radiates it. Psalm 34:5 says, those who look to him are radiant. They're radiant because their face, her eyes are full of another world. She knows that her purpose is not just in the here and now, but as she is living in the here and now, she is fulfilling that purpose for up there. As she works, as she serves, she's fulfilling her godly purpose no matter what she's doing. Braiding her child's hair, helping with the homework. These are great, great callings on your life. Never think that they aren't worthwhile. She can laugh at the days to come. Moms, when you look forward, are you laughing? What do you see? For some, I know, looking forward, you almost feel heartache because you're like, God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. This is hard. Lord, you see my situation. You see the finances in the home. Lord, you see how my children are living. Lord, you see what's going on. How can I laugh at the days to come? This doesn't make sense. You see what's happening in the world. Stuff is going crazy. How can I laugh? Because her hope, her foundation is set on the very rock of God. Her heart is focused upward. She is looking at his face first and sees and knows that he holds the future and that there is not one thing that is going to come her way that by his grace and his help and his anointing and him coming along beside her and helping her take every single step she takes. She says, I will help you. I will be there. She can laugh because she knows she is not alone and that she will forever have her God by her side, assisting her and giving her what she needs at that moment for that situation. She can laugh because her trust is in the big, great God, Almighty, mighty Savior, the one who is so concerned for her that he bends over and says, I see what you're going through and you're not alone. I'm right there with you. She can laugh. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. A quote is, her tongue is a book by which one might learn many good things, for she delights to talk of the word of God. As a mom, we're always looking for those teachable moments, those moments when your child is looking up at you with those trusting eyes, and you know that they're going to believe every word that you say. Asper, she'll look at me and she'll ask me this question, and I know that I've got her captivated audience. And I take those moments and I pray for wisdom. In James, it talks about if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously. We need that wisdom for when those moments come, we can breathe a quick prayer and say, Lord, give me the wisdom to speak your word into this little life, that it will stand strong and that it will hold through the storms of life. And when she's being rocked in this world, because I know this world, I know it's evil. I know it. And I know she's going to face, although I pray for her, although I pray for them both, I know that someday she's going to come up against something. And Lord, let that word, and Pastor prayed it this morning, Let that word be so strong in her that she can stand against that storm. We have those moments to teach them. The law of kindness. The law of kindness. A law. Is that something that is fleeting? Or is it constant? If it's a law, it's the way it is, time after time after time after time. I fail at this one. I'll be so honest with you. I fail miserably. I'll sit there and we'll be getting ready and it's all pressure, you know. All right, my time issue again. We got 3 minutes. We got to get up the stairs. We got to get in the van. Got to get kids in the seat, and we got to get out this yard so that we can get you dropped off and you to school on time. We can do this. Okay. Aspen's sitting there. Mommy, where's my blah, blah, blah? Ah, Aspen! We need to go now! And I'm just like freaking out, and I'll sit and I'll hear myself, and I'll be like, who is that person? Not the person I want to be. The law of kindness is on her tongue. Not just for our kids, for our husbands, for the other people in our lives, for the waitress or waiter, for the pastor, for the car that's being so slow in front of you, that you are so aggravated with, that you want to pass, and they're just taking up the whole road, and your children are watching you, and they're going to listen to what you say, and how you say it, and the next time that there's a car in front of you, you hear out of their little mouths, "Get out of the way!" I know you've never heard that. And you go, where did she learn that from? Not me. It was her father. Right? Love kindness toward our husbands. Ladies, I know we get hurt. We're emotional creatures. God made us that way. That's who we are. It's awesome. At times. At times, it's not awesome. We have emotions to deal with, and they get hurt, and it's ugly when they get hurt. At least I'm ugly when I get hurt. Maybe you aren't. It's nasty, and we want to strike out. My poor husband. We want to strike out, and we want to tell them how much they hurt us. I challenge you to don't hurt just because you can. Just because you're hurting. The law of kindness. It's constant. You. These last few will go quickly. She understands her priorities. Verse 30, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She fears the Lord first. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. Before we're a wife, before we're a mother, before we're an employee, before we're a church helper, before we're anything else, what are we? We're a child of the living God. That is our first priority. That has to be in order. I struggle with that because of time. I know that I need to take care of that first, that I need to be in the Word of God, that I need to be filling myself up, because as the day gets rolling, I'm going to have ample opportunity to give out. And if I don't have anything inside to give, they're getting nothing good. I struggle with that as a mom. I'm so honest with you. I struggle. It's hard, but I know it's vital. And I keep praying, and I'm going to continue to keep praying to ask God to help me with that, because before everything else, I am a child of God. Secondly, priority is her husband. I already mentioned, you are one with your husband. Your children are third. Your husband gets priority over your children. And I know that's a hard one for some, especially when your children are constantly, Mommy, I need this. Mommy, I need that. Mommy, where is this? Oh, I need this. Oh, they need this care. They need this. Children are needy. They need you. Your husband, a lot of times, is too prideful to be needy. They don't come up to you and go, I need you. They need you. They need your love. They need your affection. They need your support. They need you to stop for a moment and look them in the eye and say, I love you and I am yours. I'm yours. Shouldn't have looked at him. I'm not looking. Lastly, everything else comes last. It does. Here's a priority the way God set it up. God first, husband, children, everything else. Your priority is your home. That's why you're here. That's why God created you and gave you the gifts you have. E, earns her reward. Verse 28, her children rise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And I found this very interesting. Who knows you best? Who knows you? Who sees you on your good days and your bad? Who knows you inside out besides the Lord? It's the people close to you. It's the people that you're living with day in and day out. And they are the ones that are rising up and they are honoring her. My favorite verse now, and this is for everybody. Verse 31. Give her the reward she has earned. Now, ultimately, I want to preface with this. Our reward, our biggest reward, is from Him. Going back to whatever we do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Our job as a wife and a mother is not to receive praise from our husband and our children. That is not our job. Our job is to serve them and to make our home and to do all these things because we're doing it for the Lord. Okay? It is the only thing that will bring you the fulfillment in your life that you are looking for as a wife. You may have a great husband and he may honor you all the time. But if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, eventually he's going to mess up. He's going to forget something. He's not going to notice that you vacuumed the house 3 times. And he's going to forget to say it. And you're going to crash because you were waiting to get that validation from him. I struggle with this one. I know that my value, it has to come from him. And if I don't get it from him, there's nothing my husband and nothing my children can do to fill that hole in my life. They could get up from the moment they get up in the morning, they could say, I love you, Mommy. I love you, Mommy. Honey, you're the most awesome. You did so great. Oh, I just love the house and all the wreaths and decorations in it. They could do it all day long, but eventually it's just not going to fulfill that hole. There's only one place. Revelation 22 says, "Behold, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end." Our reward, it's from him. It's the one that matters. But, and I'm wrapping up, promise. It does say, give her the reward she has earned. He's not talking to God there. He's talking to the people in her life that see what she's doing. So I challenge you. I've heard it all. You're not my mother. You know, what is this day? That whole thing. I've heard it. And if you're being consistent and you are honoring her on a regular basis and appreciating what she does, then good, let Mother's Day pass. But if you're not, then take the moment and just honor her. Let her know that what she's doing is worthwhile and that it is fulfilling a purpose that is greater than she even knows. Let her know she's special to you. It's here. It says it. I'm not making it up. 31:31. Give her the reward she has earned. All right. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate the time you've given. I pray that there has been something that you have learned or that has inspired you or will help you. This 31 woman, she's crazy amazing. She is. I know that I can't live up to that on my own. Please understand that. This isn't to say that if you don't live up to this person, you are not of value. That is not what I'm saying. You are valuable. Why? Because you are God's creation. And this is just a guideline. And with God's grace and help, he will help us to just get a little bit closer. Every day is a journey. Every day is an opportunity to become more of the person that God created you to be.